Good morning, everyone. My name is Raymond Ang. We are from the Chinese University of Hong Kong and Institute for Infocom Research in Singapore. First, I think I have to list 2 points which characterize our work today. First is, unlike previous presentations, which at least touch something about speaker recognition, our work is exclusively on language recognition here today. And the second point is we tried kind of an alternative approach in focusing a very specific case in language recognition. We find that in the previous LRE 2009, there are some very difficult languages, so we just focus on these scenarios, and that's why we have this work called Detection Target Dependent Score Calibration for Language Recognition. So here's the outline of today's presentation. First, we'll introduce the problem, and then we will recap a little bit about detection costs. And we will illustrate our calibration with two tasks. The first is pairwise language recognition, and then the general language recognition. Finally, is the summary. So for language recognition tasks, we define this as follows. Given a target language, the task of language recognition is to detect the presence of targets in the testing trial. And a practical language decoder calculates the scores indicating the presence of the target and then make decisions. When erroneous decision is made, then there is a detection cost. So typical detection costs, I think most of you are very familiar with, which are detection misses and false alarms. And in our work, we interpret score calibration as the adjustment of numerical values of scores, which in turn affects detectors' decisions. And the objective is to do calibration in order to have a minimum detection cost. More generally, in global calibration, or as Dr. Brummer said, application-independent calibration, the parameters of the detection cost function are usually ignored. And the result of that is, for global calibration, is it transforms the likelihood score in a global manner, and it does not pay special attention to highly confusable trials. We do not say whether it is good or bad, but in this work, we're going to do another way. In language recognition 2009, there are some pairs of related languages listed already in the specifications. So detection of these related languages becomes a bottleneck because they are difficult. It's easy to mix them up. For example, Russian and Ukrainian, Hindi and Urdu. So in the following, we will focus on these 10 languages. We'll focus them one at a time. For example, we call Russian the target language, and then we have a related language called Ukrainian. And afterwards, we have the target language called Ukrainian, and the related language became Russian. And then we have 10 rounds of calibrations such that the final error will be reduced. So now, just a very brief recap on the detection cost, because you're going to look at a lot of diagrams just to help you to comprehend what we're going to do. So, for example, we have two classes, HT and HR, or two languages, target language, related languages. And then we have the log likelihood ratio from the target language. So we call that lambda HT. It is the score from the detector of HT. So let K be the index of the test trial. And then if we plot the lambda HT against K, it will be like this. So you see a lot of trials here. So this is the score of one trial. And there are circles and triangles. Circles mainly stands for the trials whose true class belongs to HT. And triangle stands for represent the trials where the true class is related class, HR. So we focus on the field circles and field triangles. It will be easy to understand field triangles are false alarm because it's above the threshold, and then the field circles are detection miss because it's under the threshold. So again, we keep it very simple. The objective is only to reduce the detection miss and false alarm. But when we reduce that means we want to reduce the count of these field circles and these field triangles, and it's kind of a discrete thing. And we don't want to do that. We want to do it in a quantitative way. So this can be done by minimizing the erroneous deviation with respect to the detection threshold, which means we want to minimize the relative distance of these field triangles and field circles from the detection threshold. And we assumed that this detection threshold is already fixed at the very beginning. So now we can introduce how we do the Parrot's language recognition. First, we make a simple hypothesis because we told you that there are related pairs of languages. So the log likelihood ratios of these two related languages, lambda HT and lambda HR, contains very similar and complementary information. So before you look at the graph which shows you only the log likelihood ratio for lambda HT, and now we introduce another dimension, lambda HR, which are detection likelihood ratio for related hypotheses. And the trend of the scores normally follows this manner. And to understand this easily, we can just pick any trial from target class HT. So it is natural that it has a very high score of lambda HT because it's detecting the target class. And it has a low score of lambda HR because it is not belonging to the target class but the related class. And similarly, for another trial in the related class, it has a high score in lambda HR and no score in lambda HT. So this shape simply prompts us to think of how about if we rotate the whole score space such that we can obtain a new score space and detection threshold like this. And mathematically, it is actually when we determine the detection threshold, we not only consider lambda HT, but also consider the lambda HR, which means we use the detector scores from two detectors, target language, related language, in order to have the final decision for whether this trial belongs to target class HT. So mathematically, we want to formulate like this. We talk about that we want to do this in a quantitative way to minimize the total erroneous deviation, which is the distance between these points from the threshold. So we take this equation step by step. We look into this lambda minus theta first. So this is the displacement of this score from the threshold. So for detection miss, the miss is below the threshold, so this difference is negative. And for false alarm, the difference is positive. And Y is representing the true label of the detection trial. If it is belonging to the target class, the value is 1. If it does not belong to the target class, the value is negative 1. So we can see that by multiplying the Y and this lambda minus theta for two cases of errors, we always have some positive values. And for correct acceptance and rejections, we always have negative value. And then we use the max operation to remove these correct acceptance rejection scores, such that finally what left over is only the erroneous deviation, and then we sum over the whole database over k from the first trial to the last trial. And we would like to adjust the detection log likelihood ratio where the adjusted likelihood lambda dash could reduce this total erroneous deviation. So perhaps I should go back to the last slide because what we do is to reduce the erroneous deviation, the distance between these errors from the threshold. And the way we do that is by rotating the score space. And the rotation of score space is actually accomplished by this equation because we want to do a linear combination of the scores from two detectors. And the result is that the score space is rotated. And here, the whole problem is now formulated. We have the objective function of erroneous deviation, and then we want to minimize that subject to the linear combination factor alpha. And then we also have a little constraint just to make sure that the final result, the updated log likelihood ratio, will not be out of range. And after we have done this optimization of our rotating the score space with the development set. We applied this alpha parameter to the evaluation data set, and then we go back to the normal error metrics, which is the detection cost. And because this time we illustrate the pairwise language recognition first, so we have one miss term and one false alarm term in the error statistics. So this is the brief diagram of our systems. What we use is a phonotactic and prosodic fusion system. I have to admit that we only use one subsystem in our institute for phonotactics, so it's not the best system to start with, but what we want to try is to try the effectiveness of the score calibration in this particular scenario. So after we get the score from different detectors, we have located 10 difficult target languages. Then for each target languages, we choose the log likelihood ratio of itself and then the log likelihood ratio of the related class. And then we do the parameter optimization, which means we rotate the score space such that we have an update lambda dash, the updated log likelihood ratio. The training data we use is NIST LRE. 1996 to 2007 COPPRA, and the evaluation data is NIST 2009 evaluation sets. To give you a brief idea of how the amount of data we had for the general error tests, which you'll see in later slides, the number of trials is about 10,000 for 23 languages. And to train this alpha parameter in rotating the score space, we use a development set. The development set comes from this 2007 evaluation data set and excerpts from 2009 development sets. There's a total of 6,000 trials, and the test durations are all 30 seconds. So this is the result of the pairwise language recognition test. The original EER is given here. It's about 20% for all these difficult languages. And after we apply the score calibration, the error is about 19%, which is about 5% relative ER reduction. We can see Bosnia and Croatian confusion cannot be reduced by this method, which is because I guess the two languages mixed up very seriously in our score. And in a related language pair, confusion reduction is more significant for the worst performing languages. Let's see, for example, we compare Dari and Farsi, and the error reduction in Dari is more significant with the help of a better score from the Farsi detector. So the improvement of pairwise language recognition is not very significant, but we want to extend this method to the general language recognition, and then we'll see a more significant error reduction there. We just quote the average cost function for the pairwise language recognition again. We have one missed term and one false alarm term. But if we move to the general error task, then the cost function become more complicated because there are more target languages. And for the detection of each language, there is one missed term and 22 false alarm term to contribute to the average cost. So as you see, I highlighted that part in red. Because previously we have been looking in data for two languages only, so there are only circles and triangles. But now, when we extend to the general error task, there are more, let me call that out of set data, which is the data not reside in these two target languages. So this so-called out of set data is marked in red circles here. And again, I'll show you the general trend of the out-of-set data in the detection scores of the two classifiers, because the classifier of the log likelihood ratio of HT and HR are giving very similar trend because these two languages are very similar. So what has a high score in lambda HT also give a high score in lambda HR. And Actually, there are some modifications we have to do when we proceed from the two language case to the general 23 language case. First is, as I said, we have many out-of-set data. We don't want to touch these out-of-set data because we're afraid then this may affect the detection of these other language classes. The second thing is, as I mentioned, in the general cost function, there are 22 false alarm terms, so the false alarm for each language pair become undermined. And we have to put more stress in reducing detection miss rather than reducing the detection of false alarm in order to have a low detection average cost. So this is the three rules we applied when we proceed from pairwise language recognition to the general LR task. First rule is we only select detection trials which are likely to belong to the two related languages, HT and HR. Of course, we do not know in advance which language they belong to. So we apply a heuristic method, which is included in the paper, just to choose only this language to operate. And the rule two is we weigh the cost of detection miss 22 times heavier. As you see in the later slide or earlier, we formulate the erroneous deviation optimization function. So there is a miss term, and then there is a false alarm term, and we put the weight 22 times more for the detection miss term. The rule three is we have to shift the reference point for the calculation of total erroneous deviation. The point of doing this is can be explained in the diagram here. We have said that detection miss is more important. We have to put more focus in detection miss in the calibration. And we go back to the original detection threshold theta here. If you still remember, we have filter only the erroneous deviation and then remove all these red dots here, because these red dots supposed to fall into the region of correct acceptance, and then it was not handled in any way if we don't do anything. So if detection misses is so important, why don't we just also try to look at these like boundary points by moving the detection threshold a little bit higher or a little bit lower. Actually, we allow the detection threshold to fluctuates, and then we try the best epsilon, which will give the lowest general language recognition error. So this is the revised objective function. Basically, it's the same, exactly the same from the previous slides you see for the calibration with two languages. But now we have the three modifications as shown in red here. And after we have done the calibration with the development set, then we go back to the evaluation data set and then use the convention average cost function to evaluate the ER. This page is maybe a little bit intimidating, so let me use some time to explain. So there are four diagrams here. We use the development set to tune the alpha parameters for score space rotation. So this is the score for lambda HT and lambda HR before rotation, and this is after rotation. As you can see, we only choose the subset. Actually, the black dots are the log likelihood score for the target class, and the green dots are the log likelihood score for related class. So suppose only the black and the green dots are affected, and they are rotated a little bit. And this is the result for evaluation sets. Of course, you will see more messy. And there are also some kind of rotation here. And then we'll see what we want to do. We want to do the rotation such that there are more target class score staying in the upper end of the y-axis, so there will be less detection misses. So in the development set, it isn't very clear because the target class, the black dots are already up high in the y-axis. So in the evaluation sets, we can see those black dots scattering down the curve here, which makes up with the red and green dots have already moved up after the rotation of the score space. So this is the overall result of the equal error rates after applying the score or space rotation. Before, we have 4.45 equal error rates, and we use single detection threshold for the detection of all languages. And after the score rotation, the error is reduced to about 3.3%, which is about 25% relative reduction of EER generally. And we also introduced before there is a parameter epsilon which accounts for the shifting of the detection threshold. And if we shift it upper and upper, if epsilon is larger and larger, that means we become more and more harsh to these boundary points, to possibly detection miss points. So we've tried different epsilon. When the epsilon is 3.5, we got the lowest equal error rate. So here comes a summary of today's talk. In language recognition, language pair detection tasks for five pairs of related languages, a linear combination of detection scores between target language and the related language brings about 5.8% relative EER reduction. And we revised the parameters for optimization of the score space rotation, and the application dependent calibration can be applied to the full set of detection, and it brings about 25% relative reduction of EER. So for future work, we have been thinking of some unsupervised methods to find these related targets, because in this work we start with the related targets with no derivation, because it is already included in the specification. And we have also thought about application to other detection tasks, but we understand this work is very specific to this particular language recognition task, and we think special cares have to be taken if we migrate that to other detection tasks. And this is the end of today's presentation. Thank you very much.
Before questions, Doug just asked me to announce that the organizing committee just meet outside here after the session. So any questions for Raymond?
I haven't taken part in these evaluations, so I have a question about the evaluation, which seems to relate to what you're doing. It sounds like what you're saying is that when you're testing a sample and you're saying, is this Russian? In the training, you can do anything you want for setting thresholds.
Sorry, in the training?
In the training and calibration you can set things, thresholds any way you want. But in the testing, are you allowed to say, this test sample looks very much like Russian, but... And my task is to say if it's Russian, but I happen to know that I also have a Ukrainian model and it looks more like Ukrainian. Are you allowed to do that at testing time, or is that disallowed for some reason? It is allowed. So you can look at all the languages and see which it's close to. So
all the models interact. Unlike the language models are allowed to interact with regression.
Okay, so you can just do a forced choice at that point. Okay.
Yes. So actually, during tests, we just have a score factor of all the detector from different languages, and then we compare to choose, okay, this may be possibly Russian.
Okay.
You used a linear combination of two detectors. I mean, all languages are related to varying degrees. Why not use a linear combination of all your detectors for all the languages?
We have actually tried. And the intriguing thing is that it only works for these kind of related languages. Because I think a very simple answer to let you understand why this works is if the two languages are more and more similar, then the detector scores from these two detectors have more complementary effects. Because, say, Russian and Ukrainian, they are very similar. That means if I use the score combination of these two languages, then I can have a better confidence to reject languages which are not Russian and Ukrainian. And this is the main performance reduction or performance improvement we get. We have get a significant reduction of false alarm to other languages, but not to the related languages by doing this.
If there are no more questions, then let's go and enjoy lunch, and let's thank the speaker again.